Many of you have probably heard or seen the musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber, The Phantom of the Opera. As you know, it's a musical drama that depicts several human weaknesses that perhaps each of us can strive to overcome. Emotions of resentment and jealousy and fear and arrogance. These emotions consume these plays' characters in ways that are both sympathetic and I think also engaging. Well, the story plumbs the depths of the anguished Phantom's feelings about his disfigurement and the jealousy he has of the opera company's directors, whom he thinks are less talented than he is. The musical further explores the theme of jealousy in a minor character named Carlotta, who is the soprano star of the opera company and who has the title of prima donna, as Sue just elaborated to our kids. And that title, as Sue just explained, is given to the principal singer, usually female soprano, in any opera company. And as the star, she carries the weight of the production. If she has a poor performance some evening, the rest of the cast can be super, super great, but the opera will still suffer. The audience will be disappointed. But if she has a bravura performance, the audience will cheer both her and the entire cast. Now, for many prima donnas, that kind of power and responsibility and fame often influences their ego. Opera prima donnas begin to demand extra attention and more perks because of their stardom. And they know that the opera company both depends on their talent and then prospers because of it. And that realization is difficult to manage for most people. It causes many people to become consumed with their own grandiosity. And the Phantom of the Opera, that's exactly how its prima donna, Carlotta, acts. She's horrified that when she comes down with a sore throat, instead of the opera being canceled, she's replaced by a mere chorus girl named Christine, who goes on to become a star herself. Carlotta believes that she's the star. Nobody can or should replace her. Her arrogance and her condescension towards Christine is one of the show's dramatic highlights. Now, because arrogance quickly became synonymous with prima donnas, the word prima donna soon defined not just any opera star, but any person who is demanding or boastful and conceited. Someone who acts as if they are the greatest at what they do, who thinks the world should listen to and hang on their every word, perhaps like a minister on a Sunday morning. Or someone who expects extravagant attention and wealth and luxury, who believes they are so perfect and great that they are irreplaceable. That kind of person is now referred to as a prima donna. And that definition leads me to the second of my three messages this October on perhaps scary Halloween costumes one might wear. And my series is also hopefully a fanciful way of examining attitudes that we might adopt from time to time, but which we want to eliminate as much as possible from how we act and how we think. Last Sunday, I looked at the scapegoat as one scary costume. Too many people blame others for their faults and failures. Today, demagogues, politicians, turn Muslims and immigrants and African Americans and others into the scapegoats of our time. People to blame for our nation's economic and social problems. On an individual level, we can make a child or a loved one or even a stranger a scapegoat for our own personal failures. And we can also adopt a perpetual victim mentality that refuses to overcome life challenges. And we thereby make ourselves a scapegoat. And next Sunday, I plan to look at how the hypocrite is perhaps the scariest of all costumes we could wear. That's a person who purposely does not act as he or she believes, someone who does not figuratively walk their talk. But for today, a prima donna is someone who's defined by their arrogance. And while this can come from winning fame and fortune, most experts believe prima donna attitudes are formed at an early age. In some unhealthy homes, parental affection for children is not unconditional. Instead, it is conditional and based on a child's successes or failures, how beautiful or handsome the child is, the grades they get, or their abilities in a sport or artistic endeavor. And children then learn that they must compete for their parental affection and that any imperfection brings ridicule. And those children that realize that often learn to manipulate their parents' perception of them. They tend to brag and exaggerate accomplishments and paint themselves as the good child. And sadly, they later become prima donna adults. Dysfunctional parents can shower love on their children who are cocky and boastful, who seem to be successful, and withhold love from quiet or less boastful kids who seem to be less successful. Ultimately, psychologists believe prima donna attitudes are compensation for insecurity and weakness. Since everyone has flaws, but not everyone is able to identify and admit to them, prima donnas use arrogance as a way to mask who they really are. Psychologists further say that prima donnas often have lots of friends, but most of them are superficial friendships. Prima donnas have very few, if any, close friends. And if they do, the relationship often does not last long. Prima donnas can be outwardly charming, but that's often employed as a way to get something they want. Prima donnas are intolerant of people who are different, weak, or less than successful. They generally ridicule and tear down those who they deem as inferior, all as a way to feed their sense of superiority. And prima donnas usually dominate conversations. Only they have something important to say, or so they believe. And they often turn conversations into ones about themselves. They're overly talkative and generally poor listeners. They prefer to argue and debate and instead of just engaging in a mutually affirming conversation. And prima donnas often have a great, great sense of humor about the flaws in other people, but they're unwilling to laugh at themselves and their own everyday foibles. Any comment they perceive as criticism brings out their insecurities and causes them to lash out in anger. And finally, prima donnas rarely, if ever, admit their mistakes and apologize. To do so would be to confess they are not as smart or successful or as great as they believe. As most psychologists say, prima donna arrogance is a mask for deep insecurity. Now, one of the problems with identifying classically prima donna behaviors is that it's often assumed that the opposite of arrogance is a type of humility that's meek and self-effacing and timid. Many people feel insecure because they too did not receive unconditional parental love. Just like some kids respond to conditional love by becoming arrogant, other kids respond by becoming quiet and fearful. They hesitate to stand out and fear they'll fail and lose the affection of a parent. And those kids become adults who lack the confidence to do anything challenging. So what's the solution? The kind of attitude that we should strive to adopt is one that most psychologists describe as healthy humility. And it's also a spiritual path which I believe leads to self-awareness and inner peace. To be humble in a way that is healthy is to celebrate one's unique abilities and characteristics while admitting one's flaws and areas for growth. This kind of humble person has no need to boast, since he or she already recognizes the skills they have. They've learned not to be consumed by what others think of them, since they already love and believe in themselves. This person with healthy humility has usually been unconditionally loved by a parent or partner. They feel love not for what they do or don't do, but simply because they are a child or a person worthy of love and respect. And that's why most psychologists say that healthy humility is an attitude muscle we must work to develop. Becoming humble is very similar to the Buddhist practice of mindfulness and self-emptying. We must strive to let go of our inner ego, the part of us that desires material pleasure, the part of us that gets jealous, or that's prone to selfishness. By freeing ourselves of most external, self-oriented desires, we'll become more at peace about our abilities. We'll put in perspective our failures. We'll feel greater love towards not only ourselves, but others too. It's an ironic fact, but arrogance is rooted in a lack of self-confidence. Humility is rooted, to the contrary, in an abundance of honest self-confidence. Truly humble people have the confidence to know they are special in the same way they believe everyone is special. Logic and self-awareness leads to that kind of humility. If we think about it, we're each insignificant within an almost limitless universe. We're also only one, each of us, we're only one out of 7 billion people on this earth. And yet, we each are also worthy and valuable. In other words, you are nothing, and yet you're everything. And that dual awareness is a hallmark of healthy humility. Humble people listen more than they speak because they want to learn from others. Humble people are generous because they have no fear about their own needs. Honestly humble people build up other people instead of tearing them down, since they have no need to compete. They're already aware of their abilities. People who have healthy humility are unafraid to apologize and admit mistakes, since they understand that everybody fails from time to time. Love for others leads one to empathize with how one may have been hurtful, and so apology comes naturally to truly humble people. Once again, I think it's ironic, but humble people are strong precisely because they know and admit to their vulnerability. Without fear of being unmasked as weak, they're not afraid to try new things or accept people with different lifestyles or beliefs, or even of having someone outshine them. The Dalai Lama wrote in his book, The Art of Happiness at Work, that a truly humble person understands and knows their personal reality. He or she knows that they, like every person, has gifts of ability that define who they are as individuals. One might be artistic or musical or empathetic or witty or funny or gentle or athletic or intelligent, but each has a variety of qualities that not only make them who they are, those qualities make them special and unique. And with that awareness comes a kind of peace and self-confidence and, importantly, healthy humility. Arrogant people, however, have no awareness of their true abilities. They inwardly believe themselves to be weak, and so they then exaggerate their specialness. On the other hand, people who lack self-confidence, who have been beaten down by parents or others who offered only conditional love, they minimize their specialness. Both extremes, arrogance or timid humility, are unbalanced. Neither way is good, says the Dalai Lama. It's the middle path, as always, that's best. The self-aware, mindful, and humble person continually examines their truth, the good and the bad. They neither deny their strengths nor do they boast of them. They neither deny their weaknesses nor are they defeated by them. They simply are a fully complete and true and ultimately empowered person. And I have to be honest with you. I've had a difficult week in my role as minister. I was criticized by a few people, and that distressed me. I watched with fear the hurricane that headed towards my house in South Florida, and I despaired that I wasn't there to watch over it. And I've doubted my abilities and my work. In truth, I gave in to the prima donna attitude. I was hurt by criticism because I lacked the confidence in the skills I do have. I worried about my house because I still hold on to the false value of material things. I worried about something so trivial compared to the challenges that others face. I doubted myself because I lost sight of what makes me. And I still struggle to find the kind of humility that's real, that's not afraid to claim my strengths while seeking growth in areas where I'm weak. And I could be wrong, but I don't think most people would call me a prima donna. And yet, in many, many ways, I am. I can just wear that costume on the inside. And I tell you these things not to be boastful about how confessional I can be. It's perhaps ironic, but some people can be arrogant about their humility. Rather, I tell these things to you because I believe many people, like me, struggle with finding the right balance between being humble and yet still being self-confident. The struggle for all of us is how to be authentic and celebrate our reality. And I look out into this room, and I see very, very successful people in here, individuals who are kind and giving and serving and creative and hardworking and intelligent and strong. And I also see a room full of challenged people who struggle with insecurity and fear and worldly desires or perhaps anger. But these contrasting truths are what make us each beautiful and special. If we strive to be true, to take off any of our inner or outer masks that we might wear, we'll find the power to be even greater than we already are. In our self-awareness and our honest humility, I believe we'll be kinder and gentler and more confident and happier. We'll have no need to wear an arrogant prima donna costume. With true, healthy humility, we will already be so, so, so much better. And I wish you all much peace and joy.